Well, the title of this message is, We Need the Gospel, Don't We? And so, if you'd open your Bibles and then turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:16, I'm going to be there, and then I'm going to go to Amos 3, and then I'm going to go to Psalm 1. So I'll give you all those in advance, so that way you can kind of cue it up. For the first part is 1 Corinthians 9:16. And again, the title of this message is, We Need the Gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16 starts out, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now the Apostle Paul was the preacher of the word, and he stands as the prince of preachers. He preached before Agrippa, he preached before Nero Caesar, and he stood before emperors and kings for Christ's name's sake. Now, it was a characteristic of Paul that whatever he did with all his heart. Paul spoke from experience concerning his ministry, and because he was the chief of ministers. Now, there was no nonsense in what he speaks. It is all from the depths of his soul. Now, and we may be sure that when he wrote this scriptures with a strong hand. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So the questions are, what is it to preach the gospel? And then secondly, why is it that a minister has nothing to glory of? And then thirdly, what is that necessity or that woe of which it is written? Necessity is laid upon me means it was God's will for him to preach this gospel. He wanted to preach this gospel. It was committed unto him, and this necessity was laid upon him. Paul had such a commitment unto the Lord to preach this gospel. This is the necessity that he felt. Now, what was it, again, for him to preach the gospel? To preach the gospel is to state the truth in God's word, to give the truth in its proper importance. Now, there are some truths which God blesses to the conversion of sinners, isn't there? But then there are other portions which are intended for the comfort of the saints. Should we only look at one and disregard the others? No. If God says, comfort ye my people, and if the gospel comforts God's people, then I must preach it, correct? Today, there are certain truths in God's word which are condemned to silence in the church. But is it for me to judge God's truth, or any man to judge God's truth? Am I to judge his word and say, this is good and that's evil, and not preach this and not preach that? Am I to take God's word, his Bible, and sever it and say, this is husk and then this is wheat? Am I to cast away any one truth and say, I dare not preach it because it might convict someone? No, God forbid. Whatsoever is written in God's word is written for our instruction, and the whole of it is profitable, either for reproof, for comfort, for edification in righteousness. We know that. No truth of God's word ought to be withheld, but every portion of it preached in its own proper order. Now, there are those that would stay away from certain truth because it meddles or it is judging. Or maybe some would say he should not preach that because it convicts. Some would say you can't preach that because it's too harsh. But if it's the word of God, it must be preached. he would preach the gospel, Paul that is, and the gospel must be preached, all the gospel. Now, we must not keep back any part of the revelation that God gives us. Paul further stated in verse 17 there, it says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So our attitude to the ministry is the basis for our reward. It doesn't make any difference how many people come to hear us or how much money we collect or any other thing that man might measure success in ministry. The results of our ministry that makes a difference is my attitude of willingness. Am I willing to do this? This is where the reward is going to be. And Paul says, if I do this thing willingly, regardless of the results, and if I do it willingly, this is where I will have a reward. He said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, the dispensation that he's talking about is the church age. We know that. Paul was given the entire gospel for this age. And Paul wrote over half of the New Testament, even though some would criticize us for studying Paul's gospel. He has this message to the church. And I've stated some things there just to give you some background. A complete dispensation of the gospel, we know, was given to the Apostle Paul. And we could say the same thing about Moses. A complete dispensation was given to Moses, which was the dispensation of the law. The dispensation of grace, of divine grace, was given to the Apostle Paul. So Paul says, if I preach against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, and the reward only comes if I do it willingly. And to preach the gospel is to exalt Jesus Christ. I think that is the best answer that I could give. The gospel is to exalt Jesus Christ. The book of Amos, if you turn over there, the book of Amos in chapter 3, verse 3. Amos 3:3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And I'm sure you've heard that scripture before. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a question. God is the creator of the universe, and his word is the most important, and it should be the most important thing to the world, but it isn't. The word to Amos was because the nation Israel was divided, and in reality, they were divided from God. They were separated from God. And they separated themselves from him. What we see and what is happening in the world today is because people have separated from God. We see that in our own world. God said in Amos 3:1 there, it says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt." Then in verse 3 of chapter 3 of Amos, he says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So what is the answer to this question? It is no. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. God gave this message to Amos to deliver a warning to the nation of Israel because the path they were on was leading to destruction. And today, in our world, we see a nation that is on the path to destruction. We are in a culture that is being swarmed by a spirit of rebellion, and it's against God and his word. The rebellion is being played out in our very streets. The rebellion has invaded our schools, our cities, and all over the world. We see so many ideas of how we can change these things that we face today. Some say all we have to do is to adjust the laws because we are too tough on crime. Then we have the experts that are saying all we have to do is start a new program. New programs seem to create more problems. We have a problem when our elementary schools will not pledge the allegiance because it has the phrase in it, "One Nation Under God." Then the same schools will hold a seminar on transgenderism and have men dressed in drag dance before children. We've got a problem. I tell you, there's only one solution and one solution only, but the world will not recognize it, and even the church has shied away from it. We need the gospel. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," Paul said. What they are teaching our children is not education, it's brainwashing, and it should be considered child abuse, but it isn't. There's a problem if the churches stop declaring the word of God. We need the gospel. "Woe is unto me if I preach not this gospel." We follow Paul as he followed Christ, don't we? We must preach the gospel and be a church equipped to tell all and to train folks to know who they truly are in Christ. We are to shine his light and shine his love and believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, Philippians says. There's a problem when suicide is the second leading cause of death in young people from the ages of 10 to 15. There's a problem when our national leaders think that your gas-guzzling car is the biggest problem they have to solve more than the drugs that are coming in across the borders. Why is it that they can't solve the problems? It is because they've divided themselves from God. They've separated themselves. They have separated from God and his word. We need the gospel. That is the answer in Proverbs 14:34, which says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." The problem is sin. And as a nation and a people, we have sinned against God. I'm connected to those people out there. The problem is sin, and we need the gospel. Why are we struggling in this world today? Why is there so much struggles? It isn't because we do not have enough resources. The world has rejected the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, and his gospel. The only answer for us and for our families is to build our house on the principles of his word. The only hope is to turn to the Lord himself, for he is our provider, and he has given us the map of this gospel for our lives. We need the gospel. We must seek the Lord and his word, for it does not return void, the scriptures say. We must cling to his promises that endure forever, because the grass may wither and the flower may fade, but his promises to protect, his promises to provide, his promise to heal, his promise to deliver, and his promises to redeem, his promises to restore, his promises will never fail, because that is the kind of God we serve. And where is this found? We need his gospel. The question is, will we walk with God or will we walk away from God? That's what the church has actually done in a way. The world has walked away from God. The heat has been turned up and the time is short. Now this is the question that God sent Amos to ask. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There's only two ways to walk in this world. Only two ways. You can either walk with God or you can walk away from him. You see, in Amos 3, Israel was keeping company with the nations all around them rather than God, whom they had a covenant with. the covenant of divine grace through Abraham. Rather than keeping his word, they would rather behave like pagans and these pagan nations that surrounding them. The nation that God brought out of bondage of Egypt now refuses the God of the Abrahamic covenant. That covenant of grace. They refuse the word of God. They need the gospel. We have his word from the one who has described it as the one holding the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance and calls the stars and numbers them by name. He is our God who was here before the world began, and when time is no more, he will still be on the throne. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? God is asking that question. And he's the one whose mercies are renewed every morning, and he deserves an answer. But this nation won't do it. They've walked away. Which way are we walking? And who are we walking with? And how are we walking? We need the gospel. We walk that narrow path that leads to his promises. And that narrow path is not a comfortable path, is it? The narrow path will force us to change. That narrow path reminds us that apart from him, we can do nothing. Every inch that we gain in that narrow path, we learn. As Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Or you can do as some have, take the broad path. The broad way. The broad way is an easy path. The broad way, the path to the broad way, is more concerned with comfort than our condition. The broad path is driven by the lust of our flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. The broad path doesn't have a heart for God. It has an appetite for the world. James tells us in James 4:4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, and whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But the God of all grace has told us this is the way. Walk in it. Isaiah 30:21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind. Isaiah said that. Isaiah 30:21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind. Get that, behind. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So I ask you, if God is our shepherd, and he is, and we are his sheep following him, why is the voice behind you? I pondered that in this scripture. Why is it behind them? Why is the voice behind you? Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. It is because you're going the wrong direction. The shepherd is saying, this is the way, not that way. It is his mercy that he's calling from behind you. And thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. What he's saying is turn around. Why is it that Christians seem to be going in the wrong direction today? Why is it? The answer is we need the gospel. The only source that is powerful enough to turn things around is the anointed truth of God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll take both of those. We need the gospel. We need this more than ever before, especially in these days, the things we're facing. The gospel is considered by some as out of touch. I've even heard that from Christians. The gospel is the only thing that can set captives free. You send an addict to a program, and he'll still come out bound by addiction. You give him the gospel and the truth of God's word, and the chains of addiction will break, and the crooked way will be made straight, and the impossible becomes possible, because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth is not just a statement. Truth is someone, because Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That means he is the answer to everything. We need the gospel. Will we hear him today? He is my provider. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the scriptures say. He is my wisdom. He's my Prince of Peace. He told us, cast all our cares on him, for he cares for you. He gives us beauty where there were ashes. He gives us dancing where there was sorrow. He gives us victory where there was defeat. He is the God that calls all things new, isn't he? He wants to do that in our lives. And how does he do that? We need the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. Going with God requires work. And you know that. And I'm not talking about works that you do to get something from God. That's not what I'm talking about. But our walk with God is work. It's not easy. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, David said in Psalm 1, you can turn there. In Psalm 1, he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Three people here. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three people. Who are the ungodly? Well, I've come down to this. There are people who do not want to do what God wants. They just don't want to do it. And David said, when we walk with people who do not want to go with God, we're headed in the wrong direction. Because the next thing that happens when you take counsel from the ungodly is you're going to start standing up for sinners. Think about that. Everywhere you look today in the world, we are standing up for sinners. We are defending things that God calls an abomination. We are defending the rights of the ungodly today. Then after defending sinners, you get comfortable because David says, you sit in the seat of the scornful. You get comfortable. There's a difference between the sinner and the ungodly. And the scornful person or people. Ungodly people just don't want to do what God wants. Sinners deliberately disobey God's word. Scornful people mock God. We live in a world that mocks God. When a person is willing to sit in the seat of the scornful, it means that that person is more comfortable with people who mock God. They're more comfortable in the wicked environment than the righteous one. Now, I know there's people out there. I know of a group, Christians, that have taken songs that are worldly songs. And they've changed the lyrics to Christian lyrics, and they're going into bars to try to save people. That's a mockery. God is not pleased with that. Then David said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, because he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Planted means God planted us there. God planted us. We don't grow up somewhere. God planted us here. Wild weeds just grow, but things that are planted are valuable. Get that. You need to hear this. You are where God planted you, and you are valuable. You will not produce until you get comfortable where you're planted. And I know there are people who are antsy. And they're not happy where they're planted. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. It's no accident that we are planted here. God planted us here. Then get this. God planted us, and He will be our resource that never dries up. Never. It'll never run dry. You will be by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Then his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God has planted us here. And God still has places to take us in his word. In his word. It doesn't matter what they say about us. We can put our hand in the hand of God and go with God because He has divinely orchestrated our path with Him. He has a table prepared for two in the presence of our enemies. He will anoint our head with oil until our cup runs over. He has never left us, nor has He ever forsaken us, nor He ever will. His goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. His favor is upon us. His promises are still for us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do we believe that? Amen. He's for us. We need the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to get us through the last mile. We're in the last mile, and I need a second wind. This is for me too. I believe we're in the last mile. Jesus is coming. To preach the gospel is not to talk about the gospel and what the gospel is, but to preach it into the hearts of men and women. It is not only by our own might, but by the influence of the Holy Ghost. We must, by the Holy Spirit, seek as a man to man and pour out the gospel into our fellow man's hearts. To preach the gospel is to proclaim with a trumpet tongue and a flaming zeal the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus, so that men may hear with understanding, that we may turn to God with full purpose of heart. Paul said in Romans 1:15, he said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." He had preached the gospel throughout all the great parts of Asia, and he had crossed over into Europe. He had proclaimed the word through Greece, and if ever an opportunity should be there for him to get to the capital of the world, whatever might be the danger to which he would be exposed, he was prepared to go. He was ready to go anywhere for Jesus Christ, anywhere to preach this gospel, anywhere to win a soul, anywhere to comfort the people of God. He said, "I'm ready." Don't we follow Paul as he followed Christ? There's no place to which Paul was not ready to go. He was ready to make a journey to Spain, and undoubtedly he was ready to have gone to the utmost isles of the sea and to the lands and rivers unknown to carry the Lord's mighty word. Are we ready, as Paul was, to walk with Jesus Christ? We need the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. This world needs the gospel, but they've refused it. And I don't think there's any hope for them. In fact, I believe Scripture says there isn't. Without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. The church needs the full gospel, not just part of it. Paul stated, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." The gospel is a bold message, and we are not ashamed to proclaim it, are we? It is a powerful message because it is God's good news. That's what gospel is. It is a saving message. And the only thing that can truly change the human heart is the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a universal message for Jews and Gentiles alike, isn't it? The gospel is such good news because our salvation and eternal life and home in heaven are guaranteed through Jesus Christ our Lord by this very gospel, the very word of God. I'm convinced of this very thing. We need the gospel even more tonight than we've ever needed it before. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us in the right path and not veer off anywhere else. I hope this has been a blessing.